All righty, from the Fortress of Freedom in the center of forgotten America, this is the Steve Gerber Show for Wednesday, April 17, 2019. God bless America. Here are three big things you need to know. Three, another Alabama disaster brewing for the Republicans as former Judge Roy Moore, dogged by accusations of inappropriate behavior with underage girls 40 years ago, is leading all the polls for the Senate seat he already lost to Doug Jones in 2017. Could the GOP screw it up again? Two, if you missed it, there is another candidate in the race to be the Republican nominee for president. Bill Weld has declared his candidacy. Who? Yeah, well, he is the former governor of Massachusetts, getting zero respect from the White House. You ain't getting much from me either, I guess. And number one, more and more Democrats are coming clean about the things they really want for America, including government-run health care with massive tax hikes, abortion on demand, and yes, gun confiscation. And we're hearing more and more of them tell the truth finally, which is, I suppose, refreshing but frightening all at the same time. I mean, when they come clean on these things, it's a bit startling. It's what we've always known. But they're so bold right now to say, yes, here are the things we're going to do. And I bring this to your attention as more and more of the candidates for president say, we're going to raise your taxes. We're perfectly fine with abortion on demand. Sanctuary cities are a good idea. But when it has come to guns, oftentimes they shy away from where they really want to be. And let's be clear about where they want to be. They being the Michael Bloombergs of the world, the John Kellys of the world. They want it to be elimination of the private ownership of guns in America. It'll take a long time to get there, but they certainly are working on it hard, because over on the other side of Oz, Eric Swalwell, the far-left radical California congressman, I know far-leftist California congressman, redundant, right, says he wants to ban all semi-automatic firearms, and anyone who does not comply can be tossed in jail. Yes, tossed in jail. And this really is what the liberals want. Make no mistake, it's what they want. Bite number four. On CNN, Swalwell proclaiming his confiscation policy should be the law of the land. Go.
What's the punishment for people who don't hand in their guns? Do they go to jail?
Well, Jake, they would, but I also offer an alternative, which would be to keep them at a hunting club or a shooting range. And the reason I have proposed this is because these weapons are so devastating. I've seen this as a prosecutor in the cases that I've prosecuted. We've seen these in the school shootings from Sandy Hook to Parkland, and I was just at Parkland earlier this week doing a town hall there. But it's not just the violence that they've caused. It's the fear, the immeasurable fear that our children live in because they are still on our streets. I want to get rid of that fear. I want to do what Australia did and New Zealand just recently did. I think this issue just needs some bold leadership to do it.
Bold leadership. We'll just throw people in jail if they don't turn their guns in. That's bold leadership. We'll just turn ordinary Americans into felons by declaring what they bought legally, owned legally, paid their legal tender for is no longer legal, and therefore we will punish them without exception. We will drill them, and we will drill this fear into them, and we'll make sure the law enforcement community, which we don't really like, we'll make sure the law enforcement community roots them out and pounds on their door and takes away what is legally theirs and legally owned and legally purchased and all of that, and make us just like New Zealand and Australia. I believe that New Zealand and Australia are lovely places. I've visited. I like it there. I don't want to be politically like them. New Zealand has no constitution at all. And you see, the difference between America and Australia, people romanticize a bit about Australia being like America. And in many ways, I can see the comparison. However, the big difference between the United States and Australia is simply this. We fought for our freedom. Australia was given theirs. They didn't have to fight for it. Individual ruggedness. The individual is paramount in America. Personal accountability. Personal freedoms. God-given, inalienable rights are what we believe and embrace here in America. In Australia, there's more of the attitude of, well, if it's good for everybody, we're okay with it. I'm not okay with that. Because a criminal commits a horrendous, heinous act doesn't mean that I should forfeit my God-given constitutional rights. It's pretty simple. as an American, yes, there are things about Australia that we respect, and they kind of have this cowboy-esque image, I suppose, in the world in a way. Not the same. Not the same at all, because, again, you go back to America fought for its freedom. We have continued to fight for our freedom. We've continued to defend the world for more than a century. Australia, New Zealand, and these other countries were granted their independence. They didn't have to fight for anything. Not the way we did. They haven't stood up to defend the world. Not the way we do. And so, therefore, when I find a congressman from California suggesting that we eviscerate our Constitution to be more like New Zealand and Australia, I find that offensive, actually. I find that absolutely galling and offensive. I don't want America's Constitution to be like any other country. I'm not Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who once said not that long ago that she felt if there were a new country on the planet, the best constitution to follow would be that of South Africa. South Africa, where they're now taking without compensation land from farmers. Many of those farmers being murdered, just like you heard about in this program. I wouldn't want the American Constitution to look anything like the Constitution of South Africa. And that comes from a Supreme Court justice here in the United States. How frightening is that? This is the left. This is what they believe. They believe that you should have no firearms. They believe that there should be government control of your health care. Government control. Well, if you look deeper, you'll find that they believe government should not only control your health care and your finances, but also where you live. They want to make sure that communities are diverse enough, that you're okay to live in this community. Or is it too white? No, you can't live there. It's too white. It's too black or whatever it might be. They believe in taxes to the point of suffocating you. You look at the tax rates in Europe or Canada, places that have universal health care, this government-controlled health care system that they're pushing ever harder every day, and you will find that the tax rates, the effective tax rates for many people, is over 50% between the GST, the PST, and all things in Canada. The tax rates in Canada effectively are better than 50%. Every dollar you earn goes out to provincial sales tax, federal sales tax, to this tax, that tax. It goes out the door at rates higher than 50%. You think about that for a moment. You look at your paycheck and just take it and cut it in half, or take 55% of it and leave yourself with 45%. I met a woman in Canada not that long ago, three years ago. We were up there, Ivy and I were. Told us she had to work two jobs because the tax rates were so stifling. She had to work two jobs just to pay the taxes. Consider that for a moment. And they still have to stand in line for most medical procedures. Cancer treatments are often started too late to save people's lives. You don't believe me? You've got a thing on your computer called Google. Look it up. Trust me on this. It's a mess. Same's true in Europe. Stand in line for subpar service and subpar treatment. Yeah, socialism. Good Lord. 14 after the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. A crucial role of the Michigan Chamber is to listen to our members, gain an understanding of their business challenges, and provide real solutions to help them succeed. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members who represent over 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all we do. We are proud to be the leading voice of business in Michigan. And together, we can make a difference to ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.